the Families Living Undocumented Lab at Arizona State University, I'm Merritt.
And I'm Charles, and this is Undocumented, a Story.
Our Undocumented Families class this half of the semester has focused on a variety of case studies that affect a variety of undocumented families, youth, and children.
We heard about the specific case study of Latinx transgender immigrants.
Actually, our professors mentioned this case to us.
And for 2 months now, we've been grappling with ideas of who exactly undocumented Latinx transgender people are.
People are telling us there is nothing you need to know about undocumented Latinx transgender people.
Or that there is stuff you need to know to understand who you're dealing with.
This information has come to us in a variety of ways, many, many ways.
For instance, from the formal academic readings we've read for our class, to Google searches for ideas on how to put this podcast together, conversations with each other, and even our own individual thoughts.
We have even attempted to understand the, quote, general view, if there even is one, of who undocumented Latinx people are, both inside our own miniature bubbles, along with the greater and general worldview of who undocumented Latinx transgender people are.
The information itself isn't too eye-raising on an interpersonal and individual level.
People are saying things such as, quote, in my neighborhood, I get along with everyone. I respect everyone and they respect me.
Another community member even mentioned, quote, as a trans Latina, my friends support me really well and they actually call me by my name. I never expected it as a transgender woman that they would call me by my name. I was like, oh my god, they recognize me as a female.
But likely, on a more institutional level, there were a great many things we did not expect and to which gave us pause.
So, we checked them out as best as we could.
Not every single one. Some of them were so small that we were confused by their telling, waiting for the punchline that had already slid by.
Like when 58-year-old trans Cuban described the general community as, quote, racists. And then when they see a gay, for example, if he's black, well, much worse. If you're blonde, maybe a little better. The image and the appearance counts a lot in these cases. As a queer person myself, I know exactly what this is referring to. But it's subtle. It's like, I have to remind myself that I'm in a privileged position to not see or experience these hostile attitudes that stem from colorism as often. And without identifying these forms of discrimination, how do we move forward with addressing them?
Exactly. And on the other end of the scale were stories that were so incriminating that we thought, well, if this one is true, then we're done. Our story is over and we can all go home. This was the biggie.
Such as when a 47-year-old Cuban female stated, quote, the police think that if we have long hair, it's a wig. No, it's natural hair. So they say, oh, take off your wig. Well, I can't take it off. This is my hair. Yes, the police in the city need to be taught.
And even when it was stated, quote, in Argentina, you can forget that the police are going to come help you for any reason. Nobody is going to move a finger. They don't do it for women, even less for us. By a 38-year-old transgender male immigrant from Uruguay to Argentina and then to the U.S. We thought, whoa, the system has failed us.
And I think we wondered and really hoped that the system was not as broken as these people had said it was.
And when we say the system is broken, we mean the social safety net system that cares for all people.
The police and criminal justice system.
The healthcare providers and insurance companies.
The laws and legal system.
And even elected officials, such as the President of the United States.
Or, in other words, the safeguards.
The protectors.
The caretakers.
The people we go to when we need help.
And over the past few weeks, we've been holding up nuggets of evidence that, for our overall social safety net, present good and bad. So today, we're just going to lay out the rest.
Everything else that a person could reasonably add to the system is messed up and utterly flawed, or the system is working just fine, sides of the scale.
Everything that we know about from our initial research regarding our Latinx transgender population that we're learning about and advocating for.
First off, there's a question of whether undocumented Latinx transgender people are coming to the U.S. looking for an escape to leave their country.
The answer is complicated.
Some immigrant Latinx transgender individuals experienced violence and oppression in their countries of origin, which ultimately led to them migrating to the U.S.
Other Latinx immigrants reported issues related to gender and ethnic identity discrimination from police, by way of police profiling in the United States.
This was and is reinforced on a national level with rhetoric from Trump administration classifying Latinx immigrants, quote, as if they were animals, gang members, criminals, and viewing transgender women negatively as, quote, sex workers.
Second off, when in the U.S. there's the added question of whether undocumented Latinx transgender people are draining the healthcare system of resources.
No, if anything, we found that undocumented Latinx transgender people mentioned decreased access to healthcare services, as well as jobs and increased military bans.
Specifically regarding healthcare, the they directly mentioned reduced coverage of hormone treatment. I personally know some non-Latinx trans people who live in states where healthcare is already tricky, and they recounted that that uncertainty of whether or not you'll be able to receive gender-affirming care is terrifying. We can only imagine how the added stigma against Latinx communities would compound onto that fear.
One trans member of the community said, quote, "My insurance stopped covering hormones, making it harder to get them." Another said, quote, "I'm having difficulty getting hormones. My parents have helped, but I know people without that support."
They also specifically named decreased job opportunities for immigrant Latinx transgender people, both in general and since Trump's election.
And third, and in a more general sense, it was wondered if undocumented Latinx transgender people sought overall human rights and safety by coming to the U.S.
Again, as pessimistic as it is, the answer is tricky. Safety in the U.S. was better for some undocumented Latinx transgender people, yet also not as good as it could be here in the U.S.
There are fears of rollbacks and discriminatory laws being put into place.
One transgender person stated, quote, "We've been affected a lot. For example, before the previous President Obama, we had a sign in the restroom specifically for transgender people. They got rid of it. Many things have changed, and safety has changed for a transgender person."
Yet, not all hope is lost. And this is something we do want to emphasize that we learned from our undocumented Latinx transgender friends and family in this learning process.
Many directly expressed being hopeful of a more positive and less hostile future as a source of current strength, and they attributed this to their local neighborhoods and communities. I, for one, can also speak to the power of friends and family alike to fortify queer identity, even in the face of hostile circumstances.
Anna, a transgender woman, stated, quote, "I have a large network of friends and people who care about me, or at least who'd show me support. That really helps, I guess, having a large support network."
And another person stated, quote, "I find hope with my family. They give me hope and they tell me, no, you gotta keep going. You gotta keep going and do what you want."
Through this, we would like to highlight a specific advocate for trans Latinx people, Arlie Wesley.
Arlie Wesley is a trans Latinx Honduran woman who works as an activist in numerous organizations in order to uplift queer immigrants and push for ICE shutdowns. Breakout, Dignity Not Detention Coalition, and the Homeless Here organizations are only some of the places that Wesley now empowers queer youth through.
But it'd be difficult to talk about Wesley without first talking about Vicky Hernandez, another transgender activist who was murdered in their hometown of Honduras. In the aftermath, the city was later found guilty of violating Hernandez's right to life by not properly investigating her death and not addressing the police harassment she had faced hours prior to her death.
So, even from Wesley's childhood, she was exposed to the intense hatred towards transgender identity. Later, she moved out of Honduras into the United States, but the discrimination against trans people was unfortunately the same reality for trans youth here, let alone the compounded discrimination she would face as an immigrant.
In 2022, Wesley would be detained in an ICE facility, and she was even thrown into solitary confinement due to her trans identity. In her own words, quote, "As humans, we are not designed to be in cages." She explained the overwhelming psychological and emotional effect that this had on herself and others who go through the same experience.
She would later be released, and since then has been on the forefront of campaigns aimed at shutting down the ICE facilities that historically have been known for abuse.
Since then, some progress has been made to reform some of the brokenness within these facilities in terms of the treatment of trans immigrants. For this reason, Wesley created Breakout, an organization based out of New Orleans, advocating for LGBTQ+ youth being affected by the criminal juvenile justice system.
Through this, she has been able to run leadership development programs and help others to fight for LGBTQ+ youth, along with immigration advocacy as a whole. The difference Wesley has made is tremendous, and her actions will continue to make a difference in the lives of trans youth after her.
But see, here's where we go with that. In our semester of doing this, we hope for a path forward because we never get those.
We get the innocent ones, and we get the system is broken ones. That's who we get. All the time.
So we think the odds of you getting the charming path forward is possible, and that while we're just not that lucky at all times, with the resilience we see within our undocumented Latinx transgender friends and family, we can move forward as advocates and members of the LGBTQ+ community, and for all.
Because forward is better.
And better is really good. For the Families Living Undocumented Lab at Arizona State University, I'm Merritt.
And I'm Charles. And this was Undocumented, a Story.